and
this is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Don't say it that way. Come on, say it some other way. But just don't say it that way. Those were the words that I heard about 25 years ago as we were launching Save America Ministries to confront the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective. They were the words that I heard from a very close Christian friend. Chuck, just don't say it that way. We've been hearing that kind of conversation ever since, not only here on this program, but all across the country, and it's getting worse. Just don't say it that way. Well, that's the message that comes to Christians, particularly those that want to state what God has said and to say it without any equivocation, to say it clearly so that it cannot be misunderstood, to say it in love, but to say it so that there is no question about what God has said and how we need to respond. But unfortunately, that's not the tenor of our age. We're too sophisticated for that. Much too sophisticated for that. We need to speak in different tones. We need to speak in ways that you can hide, that you can kind of obfuscate what you're really saying so that you could always come back and say, well, I didn't really say that, or I didn't really mean that. Now, why do we live that way? Maybe we live that way because we just don't much love truth. We just don't much love truth. Now, some might say, well, the problem is you don't speak the truth in love, or somebody doesn't speak the truth in love. Well, that is sometimes the problem, but not usually. Usually the problem is, unless you're on the internet, unless you're on a social media network, unless you're somehow responding on a blog where you disagree with someone, generally the problem is not speaking the truth in love, but it's just not speaking the truth and having any real love for the truth. So today on Viewpoint, we want to talk about this. We want to talk about it because it has implications not only for us as Christians and in these ultimate times of human history as we anticipate the second coming of Jesus Christ, but it also has tremendous implications for us as a society and as a nation. Just don't say it that way. I have in front of me two articles. One, a Virginia high school teacher was fired for refusing to use a transgender student's new pronouns. The Virginia high school teacher was fired last Thursday for refusing to use a transgender student's pronouns, a case believed to be the first of its kind in the state of Virginia. After a four-hour hearing, the West Point School Board voted 5-0 to terminate Peter Vlaming, a French teacher at West Point High School, who resisted administrators' orders to use male pronouns to refer to a ninth-grade student who had undergone a gender transition. The board met in closed session for nearly an hour before the vote. It was very similar to a transgender rights case in nearby Gloucester County that eventually reached the U.S. Supreme Court. And this situation could present a novel legal case as the public bodies continue to grapple with how to reconcile anti-discrimination policies with the rights of religious employees. But the reality is here, this isn't nearly a matter of rights. It's a matter of just communication. This teacher, 47 years of age, who has been teaching at the school for almost 7 years after spending more than a decade in France, told his superiors that his Christian faith prevented him from using male pronouns for a student that was obviously female. He said that the student was in the class the year before when the student identified as a female. He agreed to use the student's new male name, but he tried to avoid using any pronouns, he or him or she or her, when referring to the student. So the student said it made him feel uncomfortable and singled out. And the administrator sided with the boy, telling the teacher that he could not treat his transgender pupil differently than he treats others. Well, there was an uprising even at the school as the students decided to side with the teacher. So who's right? This is a matter not just of religion, friends. This is a matter of being honest in our communication. We don't want to hear the truth anymore. This teacher was absolutely right. This young man who claimed, female, who claimed to be a male, was not a male. He's a female. But the tenor of our conversation and of our culture today is, don't agree with reality. Let's create an artificial world in which we can be whatever we want to think we are or identify as. And so this teacher was fired 5-0 by a school board that could not face the truth. It was political correctness that defined a new truth that wasn't truth at all. Then I have in front of me another article. Ban on same-sex couples roils small community college, or Christian college, actually. And here's what the student said. This isn't something sinful, God. Well, let me just share with you a few of these short paragraphs here. It was a recent fall day. A group of protesters gathered in a university courtyard, many holding rainbow flags. About 100 students and faculty members were fighting for LGBTQ rights on campus. This scene was unusual, though, in some ways more radical than ever, given that the location was Azusa Pacific University, happens to be my alma mater, a Christian college, and that the debate was over how God would view the issue of same-sex couples. One student said, "This isn't something sinful, God," as she led the emotional gathering. She said, "This is something beautiful. I pray that we continue to live out the mission of being difference makers here at Azusa Pacific University's God, and that this world will be a place of equality, God." Now, that was supposed to be a prayer to God, but it was in radical disagreement with what the Bible says about the issue as it was inspired by God. So how are we to understand? How are we to deal with these issues? Can we not speak anymore? Can we not even speak what God has said with clarity? Apparently not. And if you think this is a problem just for Christian universities or for a public school, friends, it's all over the pulpits of America and, yes, in our politics. We want to talk further about this business about just don't say it that way.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Bob Corker is very upset. That is Senator Bob Corker. Very, very upset. He went on national television and was interviewed in concerning Donald Trump, concerning our president. And he said, you know, he's doing an awful lot of harm. Now, don't get me wrong, said Senator Corker. I really like what he's doing. Yes, I really like what he's doing. He's taking care of matters, issues that nobody else has been able or willing to deal with. But I still think he's doing a lot of harm. Now, what kind of harm is he talking about? He's talking about the way he talks about issues. He talks plainly, he talks clearly, he talks unabashedly, and doesn't hesitate. He just says it like it is. But that doesn't seem to be acceptable to Senator Corker, who sees himself more as the elite within the Republican Party and within the austere body known as the United States Senate. Now, do I agree that oftentimes what Mr. Trump says is said in ways that could be much better said and just as strongly said in perhaps a different way? Yes, absolutely, I do believe that. But that's really not just what these folk in opposition are thinking about. They just don't like somebody speaking plainly. It's interesting because we've been on the air here now 23 and a half years, confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective. We don't argue with people, never have, and never will. This program is not about arguing, because a man convinced against his will be of the same opinion still. But it is a matter of presenting the truth, and presented it because of the love of God and because I happen to love the church and share, to a limited extent, God's love for the church, and therefore willing to speak the truth no matter where it falls. That just doesn't seem to be the modus operandi these days. In fact, it hasn't been the modus operandi for a good 40 to 50 years now. I remember going back into the 1960s, the later 1960s, and there was a spirit within the broader Christian community. I picked it up because I was living in California at that time, and it was all about niceness. It was all about making things seem cool. Now, you didn't know, but the word cool actually came out of the 1950s. That's when cool became cool. But there was a coolness that took place in the 1960s, the late 1960s. It began there, and it became groovy by the 1970s. But everything had to be said in such a way that it made people feel good. Now, the problem with that is that if you're going to run your life according to your feelings, then you're never going to be able or willing to receive anything called truth that would have any impact on your life, that would bring any change to your life. And that's exactly the problem. People don't want change in their life. They want things to go on business as usual, feeling good, everything seeming to be even keel. Don't tell me anything that needs to change. No, don't tell me that something about my ways are somehow displeasing to the Lord or inappropriate. No, don't tell me that. That is, unless I violate the politically correct norms, such as what happened with this school teacher in Richmond or in West Point, Virginia last week, and with the college students at Azusa Pacific University there in outside Los Angeles. I'm looking at the arm of this one young lady there at APU, Azusa Pacific University, and written on it are these words: "You can be queer and Christian." You can be queer and Christian. Now, where did that come from? You won't find it in the Bible. So where did it come from? It was an alternative truth, dare we say. an alternative truth dictated by political correctness and the culture to which Christ himself must bow. So you dare not speak the truth regarding a counterfeit truth that has been generated by the culture as a whole through political correctness, multiculturalism, and religious pluralism, which are what I call the unholy trinity to which the world must now bow. Forget Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They have been replaced by political correctness, multiculturalism, and religious pluralism, a counterfeit Godhead. So how do we talk? How can we talk to one another? How can the president of the United States, for instance, deal with an issue like immigration without saying things the way they really are? If you use the term, this is an invasion, because 7,000 to 10,000 people are amassing, rushing our border, all of a sudden, instead of speaking the truth, you have somehow spoken a kind of politically incorrect blasphemy. Because after all, these are real people. Yes, they are. After all, many of them are in considerable need. Yes, that's true. Mr. Trump's position has never disagreed with that. Never. But he had the temerity to call it what it was, an invasion. He says, look, we're not against immigration. We let in 1 million people just last year through legitimate immigration. So let them line up and come according to the law, and we can let them come in. Oh, no, that, you see, was truth spoken directly, simply, and you might say even in love, recognizing these are people made in the image of God. But that's not good enough. Not today. Because you must bow and scrape to the new idolatrous, politically correct norms of speech, which prohibit anybody saying anything that might even be remotely construed as coming affront of these new norms. It's almost impossible to speak anymore, and that's the reason why our colleges and universities are increasingly creating so-called safe spaces. Who would have ever thought of this 50 years ago, creating safe spaces for college students that are supposed to be learning how to become adults, not infantile children? But that's the way it is. It's because we do not allow true speech, honest communication that speaks the truth in love. So everybody is saying, don't say it that way. Say it some other way. And we have exactly the same problem going on in the church. And it doesn't have to necessarily have anything to do with such issues such as homosexuality or abortion. It may have something to do with other issues, maybe divorce. How many times have I had people say to me, or I've overheard people saying concerning what we do here on this program, well, there's no grace in that message. You know what they're really saying? I don't want to hear it. That's what they're really saying. Don't say it that way. Say it some other way so that I can hide from the truth, because I don't want to face the truth. So tell me anything other than the truth. Tell me that God wants happy, loving marriages. That's great. God does want loving, happy, faithful marriages. But that's not all he wants. He doesn't want us to commit adultery. He doesn't want us to divorce. He hates it. He doesn't want us to commit fornication. Oh, well, that's deemed to be hateful speech. That's not loving speech because it doesn't make some people feel good. Why doesn't it make them feel good? Because they're guilty. Guilty as, they say, sin. Now, to say that is not mean. It's not mean-spirited, because sin will send you to a place other than the pearly gates. Sin is the transgression of the law, and lawlessness will take you outside the grace of God and the mercy of God. And I don't think very many people, if they really contemplated the ultimate consequences of that, would want to buy into it. But nevertheless, say it some other way. Don't say it in a way that confronts me, or that confronts me with regard to how I might have to look at my relative or someone else that's my favorite person in the congregation or in my neighborhood or my friend who finds themselves in a position of being living contrary to the word and the will and the way of God. So here you have the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 who says, you know what, you Corinthians? He said, you've got sexual immorality going on in your congregation that is worse than anything I've even seen in the broader unbelieving culture. How in the world are you putting up with this? Don't you know that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump? You have to remove that person from the congregation. Today, to say something like that is deemed to be the most unloving, ungracious, unkind thing that you could possibly do, because we have to accept everything and everybody, no matter what, no matter when, no matter why, no matter what their excuse is. But the problem with that is, if we don't tell the truth, now they're going to have to face the truth when Christ returns, because when he returns, he's not coming back to save the world. He's coming back to judge the world in for its sin. And that includes those who profess the name of Christ. Jesus said, many are going to say unto me, Lord, Lord. He's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me. He said, not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to be accepted in the kingdom of God, but only those who do the will of my Father. In other words, only those who obey God. Now, is that a mean thing to say? No, that's the most loving thing that you can say because of the ultimate consequences. Is it a mean thing for a mother or a father to say to Johnny or Susie, even in a loud voice, don't go in the street. Don't stick that paper clip in the socket. Is that unloving? Is that unkind? It causes the child a jar, doesn't it? But it's for the purpose of protecting them against something far more serious than their tender feelings at the moment. I guess you can begin to see why this phrase has been so memorable to me over these 25 years. Chuck, just don't say it that way. Say it in a way that everybody can receive and everybody can feel good about, and that's how you're going to market your ministry. That's how you're going to be able to raise funds. Really. I guess we should have told Jesus that, or the Apostle Paul, or Peter, or James, or John, any of them, because they didn't talk that way. Before we go on, I want to share with you what we've been sharing for the last several days. As a listener, a week ago, came to me and said, Chuck, I love your program. You're doing a great thing there, and I want to help you achieve what is necessary financially. I know that it's very difficult now, so I'm going to give you $1,000. But he said, the condition for my giving you that $1,000 is I want you to agree that for the next couple of weeks, you're going to announce to your listeners that that is being done to encourage them to give $1,000 to raise 100 people that will give $1,000 each before the end of December. Friends, it's tremendously necessary. And you'll receive 5 copies of King of the Mountain to be distributed as you
will. There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint, and let me just finish up with that little promotion concerning the challenge of giving $1,000, 100 people, 100 listeners giving $1,000 to enable us to get back on our feet, so to speak, and to press forward, speaking the truth in love, not hesitating to speak the truth. And apparently there are a lot of people who are very encouraging in that regard. And so I would urge you to come on board. You can make that a gift of $1,000 by going to our website, saveus.org, that's saveus.org, or you can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, or you can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. And you can either request the 5 copies of King of the Mountain, and we'll send them to you. If you want to, we had one party that wanted me to autograph the books, and specifically to certain individuals, be happy to do that as well. Love to get the message out, and this would be one good way to do that. Makes a great gift, by the way. So I urge you to come on board and assist us in that regard. A half a dozen have now responded, and we're so grateful for that, but we need, well, here we are, the 12th of December, and we need to press on for these unusual times in which we live. And believe me, they are unusual, and they're going to get more unusual as we see the day of the Lord's return approaching. So today we're talking about this matter of, don't say it like that. Say it some other way. Say it in nicer terms. Don't say it so directly. Say it in some way that it can be sort of, you can sort of dance around, and it's not so confrontive. It doesn't come right out and straightly say it, but leave it up to the listener to try to figure out what you're saying. Isn't that the political way to do it? Isn't that what our politicians do? And in doing so, they lie to us. They actually lie to us. They leave us to believe one thing when they have no intention of following through on that. Have you noticed that when Donald Trump speaks, he speaks with intention? And he does, unlike the others, his predecessors before him, Republican or Democrat, he's actually doing what he says. And even when he is being blocked by Congress, even those in his own party, he still seeks to do what he says. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And that's not here to justify all the nefarious deeds of Donald Trump in his lifetime. I don't do that. In fact, during the primary, you may recall, those of who are listening to this program know that I've spoke rather strongly against Donald Trump on the moral and spiritual issues. But then he was elected. So we look at what things are and how they're being done, how they're being accomplished. It doesn't vitiate or put a nice spin on his previous life. That's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about saying what you mean what you say, make it sincere, straight conversation. Don't cut people off because they're expressing an opinion in good faith. I'm not talking about lashing out like Maxine Waters does. We're not talking about that. Those things are not being presented in good faith. They're there to stir things up in mean ways. We're talking just about simple truths, friends. Something like saying, with regard to the immigration issue, I believe this is an invasion. Okay? There's nothing wrong with saying that. To all appearances, it was an invasion. Even Europe is now seeing that what was happening with them is like an invasion. We just happened to have a president who was not playing the game. Now, I'm going to read to you from the book of Jeremiah. Many of us don't know who these prophets were. And did you know, by the way, here's what Jesus said right before his crucifixion. He was looking over the wall of Jerusalem, and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets." Do you know why the leaders of Israel and the Jewish people persecuted and killed the prophets? Would you like to know why? Because the prophets said things straight out and they didn't want to hear it. That's the only reason. They didn't want to hear it. They thought it affected their power, their perks, and their position. That's what the religious leaders were in Jesus' day. Pontius Pilate knew it was but for envy that they brought him. They didn't like what he said. Now, you say, well, how is it that they didn't like what Jesus said? Wasn't he gentle Jesus, sweet and mild? Wasn't he somebody that spoke with a lisp and a limp wrist and made everybody feel good? Absolutely not. If you think that's the Jesus of the Bible, you are personally self-deceived. You haven't read your Bible lately. Not really. And you don't understand what the prophets had to say. Oh, yes, that's the reason why most pastors don't want to read from the Old Testament, except the book of Psalms. Yeah, read from the Psalms, but not the prophets. Why don't pastors like to preach from the prophets? Unless they want to preach from a verse that says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary and walk and not faint." That's a great verse. But friends, if you found out where that verse is in the book of Isaiah, you would find out that the most of that chapter is very negative. Not something you want to hear. So what we do is pick and choose out of the Bible. We play exactly the same game in our churches as the politicians are playing, as the politically correct folk are playing out there in the world. Here's what Jeremiah said, among other things. "Woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture." Wow. "You scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. I will visit you, the evil of your own doing, says the Lord. And then I am going to set up shepherds over them which shall feed them." "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, 'The Lord lives, which brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt,' but 'The Lord lives, which brought up and led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and all the countries. And my heart within me is broken because of the prophets." Notice, God's heart is broken because of those who profess to be prophets, who were responsible before God to tell the truth with the unadulterated truth so that the people could not miss it. Jeremiah goes on, chapter 23, verse 10. "For the land is full of adulterers. Both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. I've also seen in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery.
and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none does return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom and the inhabitants of Gomorrah. Don't hearken unto the prophets, the words of these prophets, says the Lord, that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own hearts and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say, the Lord has said you shall have peace. No. And that no evil shall come upon you. But I have not sent these prophets, said the Lord. I have not spoken to them, yet they have purported to prophesy. But they, if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Notice God is saying through Jeremiah, he said, look, if they were really speaking the truth, if they really cared about my people, they would speak my viewpoint to them concerning their lives, concerning their attitudes, concerning their sin, concerning the error of their ways, but they refused to do it. Why did they refuse to do it? Because they wanted to please the people. That's why. Don't say it that way, the people said. No, just tell us what we want to hear. I have heard, says the Lord, what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. They're prophets of the deceit of their own heart. The prophet that has a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. You know what that means? That means straight out, without adulteration, without equivocation, without dancing around the truth and trying to obfuscate and make it seem as if it isn't really true, and it might not be true all the time, or that this, that, or the other, so that people can dance off the head of the pin and never be convicted. That's what he's talking about here. Is not my word like a hammer, like as a fire, says the Lord, like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Behold, I'm against the prophets, says the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about pastors and people, parachurch leaders and so on, who get their messages and their so-called word from the Lord by putting up their finger and trying to figure out what everybody is saying out there, what the other pastors are saying, what the other people are saying. That's what he's talking about. In other words, don't say it straight out like that. Try to find a way, like everybody else is doing it, that makes the people feel good, but not be good. Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Their false dreams, they're causing my people to err by their lies and by their lightness, and they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. We'll be right back. Don't say it that way.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
It's such a delight to be able to come before you day after day for 23 and a half years to confront the deepest issues of America's heart and America's home from God's eternal
perspective. Do you know that when we speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, that we're actually showing God's love? Yeah, that is, if we have a heart of love for the people. If all we do is have a heart of condemnation, then the truth is being spoken out of a wrong heart. But if the truth is being spoken out of a right heart, you see, Jeremiah spoke the truth out of a right heart. He was speaking on behalf of the Lord, and God had already told him the people aren't going to listen to you. Do you know that that's how Jeremiah started his ministry? God telling him the people aren't going to listen to you? The same thing happened to Ezekiel. God told him, the people aren't going to listen to you. They have a stubborn and rebellious heart. They won't listen to me, and they won't listen to you. But nevertheless, you're going to speak with my truth to them, whether they will hear or whether they'll forbear, for they are most rebellious. You can read it right there in the book of Ezekiel. And it was that way with all the prophets, including Jesus. Do you know why they crucified Jesus? It wasn't because he was a teacher. It wasn't because he was born of the Virgin Mary. It was because he was a prophet. He spoke the truth without adulteration. He didn't try to mealy-mouth the truth. He just spoke it like it was. And they didn't want to hear it. How badly did they not want to hear it? Well, let's listen to what happened with Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 26, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command you to speak. Don't take a word from it. Notice God is telling him, don't try to soften the edges. Don't try to mealy mouth. Don't try to speak with a lisp. Don't try to speak with a limp wrist. Speak straightly, clearly, and unadulteratedly so that they don't miss the message, because I'm very, very concerned about my people, and I'm going to judge them if they don't respond. That's a loving God, a loving Father, who says, I care enough to warn them. Here's what God said. If they will not hearken and turn every man from his evil way, then I will repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And you shall say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if you will not hearken to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets whom I've sent to you, rising up early and sending them, but you've not listened, then I will make this house, that is the house of God, the temple in Jerusalem, like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations. Whoa! Now here's what happened. Again, we're reading in Jeremiah chapter 26. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Notice this wasn't the world out there. This was in God's house. Did you know that the Bible is written not to the world, but to God's house? Did you know that all the warnings of Scripture are given to God's people? Those who profess to be followers of the one true God? All the warnings of Scripture. So, the priests and the prophets and all the people heard what Jeremiah said, just as God had said. And when it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took Jeremiah, saying, you shall surely die. so much for love, so much for their love of the truth. They didn't want to hear it. Tell us what we want to hear, and if you don't, we're going to kill you. And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Now, friends, that's our problem today. The rebellion in God's house is so great even in many of the churches of some of the most prominent preachers today, people that Christians revere, but they won't tell the people the whole truth. They just won't. They'll tell them how much God loves them, which is true, but they won't tell them how much God expects them to live righteous lives and what it looks like to live a righteous life and what it looks like not to live a righteous life. And that's what they won't talk about. Why? Because they know that the people won't hear it. And they don't want to be like Jeremiah. And they don't want to be like Ezekiel or like Jesus. No. So what we do is present a pretense of the gospel, a pretense of the truth. And everybody says, don't say it like that. Say it some other way. Do you know that today the Bible would never be printed? If it was written today, the Bible would never be printed by any evangelical printer. Would not. Because they have rules that you don't talk that way. You can't say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have to say some have sinned, or many have sinned, or a few have sinned. But you cannot say all have sinned. They won't let you. Unless you're directly quoting a verse like that, and then you can get by with it. Otherwise, you just can't speak the fullness of the truth and get a book published today unless you pay for it. And even then it's tough. I have many, many years of experience to validate what I'm saying. We're living in a time when our problem with communications is not just out there in the wild and woolly world. It's not just over there in Hollywood. It's not just in the various bully pulpits and so on there in Washington, D.C. It's in God's own house, friends. That's where the worst problem is. You know why it's the worst problem? Because that's the only place where there's hope. Here's how Jesus put it. He said, look, you're the light of the world. In other words, his word is light, and because he's given us his word, we're to teach and preach the fullness of the word of God without excuse and without exception, leaving nothing out just because we think it won't be well received. Our goal, remember, is not to please people, it's to please God. At least we thought that's what the goal was. And so, when we do not do that, we find ourselves in God's own house carrying on the worst form of deception because we pretend to be telling the truth, but not so much. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. But if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, our unwillingness in God's own house, among God's people, among pastors and parachurch leaders and pontificators and denominational heads and whatever folk you want to talk about, radios, personalities, television. If we're not willing to speak the fullness of the truth of God's word, we're deceiving the people. We can argue as much as we want and say, well, if I did that, I wouldn't be able to stay in this ministry very long. Well, whose ministry is it? You see, that's one of the reasons why, and people don't understand it, why it's so difficult to support and gain the necessary support for this ministry over the years. Because advertisers don't want to identify with that much truth. They're afraid it will cost them at the bottom line. Pastors are afraid. They're afraid it will cost them at the bottom line. Every ministry is afraid because they're afraid it will cost them at the bottom line. And no matter how bold you think some ministries are, I can tell you that there are certain issues they won't touch with a 10-foot pole. I don't want to go through those issues right now, but it would be very easy to do so. Because there are some issues that are much more costly to deal with than others. It's not very costly to deal with the homosexual issue for a Bible-believing Christian, for a pastor. There's relatively little cost that's involved, not real cost, not ultimate cost. Oh, you might get some backlash. You might get some people that say unnice things, but I'm talking about real cost. Very little. You know what that is? Because there's so few people in the body of Christ that are involved in the practice of homosexuality and homosexual marriage. So very few. And so it's deemed to be a somewhat safe subject for a pastor or parachurch leader, someone to deal with, and seem to be a great prophet coming against the sin of the day. But find that same person dealing with divorce and remarriage, and all hell will break loose. So they won't touch it. Won't even touch it. And yet the Apostle Paul, that we claim to get so much of our doctrine from, said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 to a church that thought they were the most spiritual church of the whole New Testament. Boy, I'll tell you, they had all the gifts going. They were the charismatic church, the word faith church of the day. They had it all together. Not. And so, Paul said to them, look, don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, that would be cohabitors today, nor adulterers, that would be those who are going out on their spouses, those who are watching pornography, those who are marrying others who are divorced when their spouse is still living. He said, don't be deceived, neither fornicators nor adulterers nor practicing homosexuals and so on are going to inherit the kingdom of God. So was Paul unloving? No. His love was maximum because he wanted as many people as possible to come clean before God and live righteous lives, holy lives, because without holiness, no man will ever see the Lord. Thanks for joining us today on Viewpoint. I trust that you'll get a copy of my book, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. It's a $17 book, yours for $15. It's on our website, saveus.org. Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. And become a partner, friends. Send those gifts by faith. Yes, those $1,000 gifts, we pray, to Save America Ministries. Do it to our website, saveus.org. God bless.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.